I was a kid who grew up going to a resort with not only my family, but we would meet my cousin's family, and we would spend a week at a place called Maywood Lodge in Lac des Flambeaux. It had a lodge, and then it had probably five or six cabins. The lake was just pristine. In the lodge, you could eat. You could also play bunco on, like, Wednesday nights. And then there was another smaller log cabin that was the resort's own tavern. Split log bar, and oh man, we used to spend time in there drinking orange pop, playing Love Letters in the Sand on the on the jukebox. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, was it's amazing how resorts, for those that it was a part of their childhood, it becomes such a big part of their life. The friendships that they make, and some of those people have been going to those same resorts 50, 60 years, mm-hmm. family groups that continue to go over and over again, and they always have the same cabin. They consider it.
Oh, yeah.
They own the cabin.
Exactly.
And then the people in the next cabin have been going there the same amount of time, and everybody knows everybody.
Yep.
And you wouldn't even believe all the marriages that have happened out of resort.
Well, that's good stuff. Well, I'm guessing that in order to do the topic justice, you must have, first, a reverence for what it is you're featuring. Tell me about that, and what other than being a good writer and editor qualifies you to do a book about such a respected heritage?
I grew up in northern Minnesota on the lakes, and I love that outdoor lifestyle. As a child, I never actually went to resorts. The first time I went to a resort was my first year of marriage. I took my wife. We thoroughly enjoyed it. I think for people to be able to unplug, disconnect with our highly connected world, and spend time together and build those familial relationships is so important. That's why I love the subject. And one of the other themes that I carried through that book, and we did a special write-up on, was just getting kids out in nature. I mean, the whole concrete jungle, and then they just go from building to building, they play the video games, mm-hmm. and whatever. Mm-hmm. That connection with nature and that ability to see the natural life and process is so important.
It's kind of too bad that many resorts, some of them I'm thinking Wisconsin Dells specifically.
I did a history on the Wisconsin Dells. You'll notice there's no specific resort featured out of a modern, uh-huh. modern-day pictures and such. But you go back in the history of the Dells, and it really was. It was the family-owned, family-run
sure.
property. That's what made it. But eventually, of course, the water park hotels took over. And I'll be frank, I mean, I've gone to a water park hotel with my kids, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, for me, it's an overnight, or it's a couple nights, and then we're gone. When we want to spend treasure time together, we get out into the woods.
Sure, but it's got to be tougher, though, as a resort owner nowadays, to consider all the things you feel as if you need to do to compete with other places. Whereas back in the day, the resorts, all they had to have was some cabins that were there and some water.
That's right. The thing about the water park hotel industry, if you take a look at that growth curve, it was unbelievable. Over 10 years.
Even resorts on water feel as if they have to have a room that has all the games in it, the video games.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. And all the Wi-Fi and the plasma TVs. And
yeah.
You know, and I think if that's my whole point of going to a resort is to
exactly.
get away from that stuff.
Exactly. And even back when I was a kid, when we had one television and one telephone, it was still a relief for my parents to go on vacation. They got away from them, and we are a million times more exposed.
Yeah.
What, didn't you have connections to northern northwest Wisconsin at the same time when you were a kid? Didn't
oh,
you
absolutely.
Spend some time
with them? My family was one of the original three families to settle the Sorona, Wisconsin area. I spent a lot of time in northwest Wisconsin as a kid. My Uncle Bob had a cabin on the shores of Long Lake by Birchwood, and he used to make homemade root beer. I have a lot of fond memories of sitting on his porch sipping homemade root beer as a kid and enjoying Cumberland, Shell Lake, Birchwood, Rice Lake, Spooner. Those towns were a big part of my youth. And, of course, Camp Eatmore was the family deer camp.
Love that name, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it was named Eatmore because there was a guy who was a chef who would always come to camp. He didn't hunt, but he always cooked for the camp. Good times in northwest Wisconsin. It's beautiful. You know, the two states, there's always a little bit of rivalry, but
yep.
I enjoyed both states. My family is Packer fans because my dad and that heritage, but we're Twins fans. And you see a lot of that, too, in Minnesota, where you have people or transplants from Wisconsin. And the Packers are just, you can't leave the Packers.
Yeah, it's best not to leave the Packers, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You know.
Neil Johnson, our guest on Spectrum West. We're talking about the book Resorts of Wisconsin. He wrote it with a guy named Adam Swenson. There you go, Johnson Swenson. Must have been a lot of Lefse consumed when they were when they were writing the book. Tell me, Neil, about researching the book. I once spent a week on the road visiting golf courses in Wisconsin, and I did not want that week to end. It kind of sounds like one of the best jobs I can think of.
Oh, it was fun times for both books. I did Resorts of Minnesota first and then Resorts of Wisconsin as a follow-up. And the individual resort stories were written by Adam, and then the historical overviews, the pieces on muskies and gangsters, I did all of those. But Adam was my editor on the first book, and we just really developed a good relationship with him, and he really wanted to be more involved, and I wanted to shoot more photos in this book. So first, I do some online research, try and find ones that I think are interesting, that would have an interesting story, that are family-owned, family-run. That's one of the big things throughout this book. It's not corporate properties. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but I don't think that's the missing story. Those stories have been told oftentimes. We were looking for those untold stories of these family-owned, family-run properties. So then after that initial online research, I would drive around and go meet with the owners, look at the properties. It's not designed to be a guidebook. I mean, it's history, it's stories. I find some of the stories to be inspirational, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Just how these people got these properties going. But I knew people would use it as a guidebook, and so I wanted them to be nice, places that people would get good experiences at. You went through a vetting process, driving around, and to be perfectly frank, you do run into people out there who probably shouldn't be in the business.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But some of them are so responsible to the environment around them, to the properties, to their guests. And they're just amazing people to meet.
Well, and again, it has such special significance for someone like me who has a link to resorts in the past. It's almost like a scratch and sniff book for me. I mean, I looked at it and I went, "Wow, I've been there," and I really hadn't been there, but philosophically, I had been there. You must have had people like me in mind because it had, at the end, to have a feel to it.
Oh, absolutely. I was really leaning heavy on nostalgia. You see that when you open to the title page with all the old brochures. I really do believe that, I guess it goes back to that song, Cats in the Cradle. Boomers missed out on a lot of time with their kids chasing the almighty dollar. And they're looking to recapture that time now. That's why family reunions have become such a big thing for resorts. And not in a manipulative fashion, but I really did want to encourage people to become involved in that nostalgia and those good old days, if you will, when people didn't have all the electronic gadgets and were a little more unplugged and able to spend that time doing simple things, whether it be fishing or just going out for a boat ride, sitting on the beach. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it had to have that feel. And I worked with a very talented design team that really grabbed hold of that vision and I think really turned the book into something beautiful.
It is nice. That's the voice of Neil Johnson. The book is Resorts of Wisconsin. I saw in the dedications that you have six kids, so you know of what you speak. Taking
your number seven on the way to Delhi.
Well, there you go. You're just spending a lot of time at resorts, I see.
That's right.
That's good.
That's right. Well, we've got four birthdays right around the same time, so my wife has told me that I can no longer touch her in June.
Ah, well, that's good, yeah. Interestingly enough, too, at the end of the book, you did kind of a summation, and I guess I never thought of the word resort, but then you guys talked about it at one time was considered a verb, you resort to something, but then I thought it also is kind of a contraction because you're going to resort.
Yeah.
And you're going to resort your life.
That's a good point.
It was fun to note that you did a lot of the book in a coffee shop because you had a house being built.
Yes. We're still working on that house. It's off grid where we bought what was an old Boy Scout camp.
Oh, boy.
Camp Washingen. And I actually, the craziest thing, just this last week, I purchased through eBay one of the old patches, that old Boy Scout camp patch.
Cool.
Of Camp Washingen, so can honor that history. But yeah, you know, we're 1.33 miles off the grid.
Sounds like you're living the life there, pal.
Oh, yeah.
So now, one very important topic. Let's end with this. The burning question, what's the future of classic resorts? I mean, I'm wondering if younger generations are choosing to carry on the traditions, and if they do so, do they feel the legacy? Are they doomed? What's going on?
I have a natural sense of nostalgia, so I want it to work out.
Yeah, me too.
I really do. But the only way that's going to work out is if people support those family-owned, family-run properties. we are at a time, baby boomers are at their, if you look at the demographics, they're at their peak spending on leisure travel. So right now, even through the difficult economic times, the resorts are holding their own.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, does the next generation pick that mantle up and keep bringing their kids back? And after interviewing a lot of guests, resort owners, talking to them about it, I really believe that they will continue on. Now, I did meet plenty of resort owners who are on their way out because they don't believe that. But, you know, that becomes its own self-fulfilling prophecy, too, because you don't market then, you don't upkeep. It changes everything when you have that belief structure. But the ones that I'm talking to in the book, the ones that I wrote about, they're doing okay.
It fits very well into the very strong hunch that I've had for a number of years that we will enjoy things if we only expose ourselves to them. The younger generation may roll their eyes. I keep thinking of the movie On Golden Pond when that young kid went up there. And he was just going, oh, Jesus, this is going to be a lot of fun. And it turned out to be, you know, the summer of his life. I contend that young people and families, if they gave themselves the opportunity to sit on the front porch after dinner and shoot the breeze and wave at the neighbors, or in this case, take the opportunity to go someplace and slow down and literally put all that activity and busyness behind them, they would love it and they would do it over and over and over again. Someone just needs to have the wherewithal to say, we're doing this.
Someone needs to lead, really what it comes down to. I mean, you know, talk about leadership in corporate America. I mean, I think that there's at times a lack of leadership within families, and somebody really needs to grab the reins and take that lead and make it happen.
Let's do this again, Dad.
Best time of my life.
No kidding. Neil Johnson, great book. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Al.